This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Here we go, hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the champs, 105 through the Fan. Rangers are off tonight. You'll get a full get right with Reggie and Fred coming up 7 to 11. Levi Weaver will join them from The Athletic, talking baseball at 7:20. For more on America's Pastime, here's the Woolly Bully, Wolchek.
Thank you very much. Shout out to Marcus Semien, baby. He is going to be starting at second base in the All-Star game next week as the Astros announce, surprise, surprise, today that Jose Altuve will not participate in this year's All-Star game. From the Houston Astros, Jose Altuve will miss the 2024 All-Star game and its festivities, instead opting to rest a sore left hand. Altuve was struck by a pitch on the hand on Friday in Minnesota, causing him to miss Saturday's game.
I think he's looking for any way out of the All-Star game because he can't look his fellow competitors in the eye.
You think?
The folks that he stole World Series championships from.
Yeah, 100% agreed. 100%. He's been dodging this ever since the Astros debacle came out. He has not played in a single All-Star game. Mike was all over this.
Oh, my hand hurts.
He just doesn't want to get booed.
It's a week tomorrow. And are you going to play in the series against the Rangers with your swollen hand?
Probably.
Right. So you're just a POS.
Yeah. Cheater.
Probable starting pitchers for this weekend's series against the Houston Astros.
Did you say POS?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Andrew Heaney against Hunter Brown, righty. Very important righty Hunter Brown for the Astros. Saturday.
I think they knocked him around last time.
Oh, they have. And they're going to knock him around again.
Yeah.
Dolly's going to hit two bombs. He's off and putting in the call today. So get ready when it happens tomorrow night. Told you. Saturday, Nathan Eovaldi against righty Spencer Arrigetti. Arrigetti's actually been pretty good for them, but Rangers are going to crush him. And then Sunday, we don't know. It's to be announced for the Rangers. I'm going to guess it's Max Scherzer.
Let's go.
Against Ronel Blanco. Now, Blanco has had some good starts against the Rangers.
Yeah.
He's been tough.
Is he the guy through the no-hitter?
He is. Yeah. He is. And he had another one brewing against the Rangers in the following week.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty good. That one's
almost back-to-back no-hitters.
But I'm thinking maybe you get Friday and Saturday, and then you're playing with house money on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, I think.
Please just find a way.
Game one.
Just find a way to get two or three from these dudes. Just find a way. Please. You know, I mean, I am begging. I want the Rangers to go into the All-Star break. You know, catch their breath. You know, the problem is coming out of the break, got the Orioles at home for three.
Yeah, but you've said this, and I agree with you. They played three out of four very competitive games.
I know,
but could have taken that series.
I don't need to be swept by the Astros and then having to face the Orioles.
Well, they won't get swept by the Astros.
That I'm hopeful. Yeah,
they won't. They won't have. They might not win the series, but they're not going to get swept.
Please don't get swept.
It's a great chance to prove themselves. Although you can't rule it out. as hot as Texas has been, the Astros got hot like 2 weeks before they did.
They've been just as hot. I mean,
they're the five games over 500 now.
Yeah, they're 7-3 in their last 10. You're 7-3 in their last 10.
This damn Astros team might end up winning the World Series right now, and you're trying to figure out a way to get back in the fight. This is starting to look like a Houston team that was down and out, and people counted them, but you... Like another great Houston sports figure, Rudy Tomjanovich, said, you never underestimate the heart of a champion.
You never do.
Dawson, I don't need you being logical.
I'm sorry.
Right,
that's
now.
The kind of fear Houston's putting in me right now.
They have no chance of winning the World Series this year. That is not happening. But maybe they can make it to the playoffs again. And even that, I think, would be an incredible feat for them. With all the injuries they've dealt with, it is damn impressive what they've done. It really, really is.
We're about to get some reinforcements here.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. No,
I keep telling myself that.
It's going to be okay, Brian.
As I'm doing... three live mics with you.
It's going to be okay. Everything's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Now, this is going to be fun. We got the 2024 All-Star Celebrity Game. It's the softball game that's going to happen next week. We've got Tiffany Haddish. Coach Prime is going to be part of this.
All right.
Dez Bryant.
There you go.
Jenna Bandy is going to be playing in this. Comedian and actor King Batch. Or is it Bach?
Bach.
It's Bach, Lucius. Thank you.
Lucius, you love these celebrity games.
I love the celebrity games.
Yeah.
Are you going to get tickets to go out there for this?
I didn't even know it was going to happen.
They're on sale now. Yeah, I didn't either until I got the email about this today.
Lucius, do you like the chaos in the celebrity game? Is that what you like about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I just like them.
They're funny when they're playing softball,
too. It's
going
to be fun. I mean, T.O. is going to be playing in this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's fun to see the non-basketball players that are good, like Micah Parsons, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any current Cowboys, but Dez and T.O. are both going to play. We've got...
Nelly was always really good at the baseballs. Yeah. Nelly was really good.
Jenny Finch.
MC Hammer.
Can be part of this?
Yes.
Hammer's good at baseball.
Yeah, so...
Jenny Finch?
Yeah, Jenny Finch is going to be out
there.
She's
an Olympian, right? Yep.
Pedro Martinez is going to be playing.
Oh.
Should be fun. Then we've got some auction items.
They didn't ask any of us to play.
Why would they?
Well, because we're local. We're local, like,
you were going to say celebrities. You think we're celebrities?
Well, like local media dudes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, RJ does have a history of winning some home run derbies and stuff.
Yeah.
They could have asked. Nice swing.
They could have asked one of us to play.
Maybe.
Throw Lucius out there. That'd have been fun.
That's hilarious. I can't play baseball, bro.
Bassick.
He's supposed to pitch in the home run derby.
He's something.
He's home.
He's going to throw Odolis.
He's home run derby.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're going to have baseball memorabilia dating back to the 19th century and a baseball thrown by John F. Kennedy. They're among the slew of items that will soon be available.
Was that 1961 opening day or 1960? I think he did it for the Washington Senators.
They've got an autographed baseball from Kennedy and former President Dwight D. Eisenhower. That's going to be sold as part of the Geddy Lee collection. Eisenhower's ball
from the Rush. Geddy Lee.
Yes, Eddie Lee. So he Geddy Lee.
Yeah.
He's estimated $40,000 to $60,000 for that ball.
Damn.
Kennedy's is estimated at more than double that.
Dang.
So then you also have a 14-karat gold pendant presented in 1933 to Lou Gehrig at the inaugural, MLB All-Star Game in Chicago.
This is the greatest day.
50,000 to 100,000 is the presale estimate for that, according to the release. We also
how much?
50 to 100K.
All right.
Professional model baseball bats from fellow Hall of Famers Ted Williams, Roberto Clemente, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, and Babe Ruth, among others, will also be a part of this auction. Mantle's bat, given to a bat boy at the 1967 All-Star Game, is expected to command $100K or more, according to the press release.
I wonder how much my 1983 Mickey Mantle old-timers hat's worth. I wonder if it's worth anything.
Bucks.
You think?
Yeah.
It's definitely
it's the
worth
last
something.
Hat he ever wore as a Yankee.
I bet that's going to add a lot of value.
$5,000.
Yeah.
You think?
I think that's
going to add a lot of value. I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to it.
So
is
it in the old-timers game here?
It was the last old-timers game at Yankee Stadium, 1983.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, of course, your daddy was buddies with
him. My dad was his drinking buddy, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so, he told my dad one day, dad was in, his trophy room, and Mr. Mantle goes, "Hey, Larry, take whatever you want," kind of thing. Dad grabbed a hat.
What would you want?
Like his triple crown trophy or something. Or,
yeah,
you know,
there's probably a lot of money.
There's probably something that you could have grabbed that was.
Oh, yeah. But I think that hat, especially last Yankee hat. Mickey
Mantle the last hat he ever wore is a Yankee.
That's worth something. Absolutely. Yeah. That's going to be worth more than you appraised. Think it is. You should get it appraised, just so you know how much the value is. Yeah. Teoscar Hernandez is rounding out the home run derby. He's going to be the final
player win it
in this. So it is, we've talked about it every day, but it's Gunnar Henderson, Alec Bohm, Pete Alonso, Bobby Witt Jr., Marcelo Zuna, Jose Ramirez, our guy Adolis Garcia, Aaron Judge not participating, but Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers.
I'd like a scouting report from Dawson on Ozuna, please.
Mid to high 90s fastball, good changeup, decent breaking ball.
He's in the home run derby.
Well, that's what makes it so impressive about him.
He could also, he's like a two-way player.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know the
Cincinnati. He's the Otani of the Dominican.
And I'd like to know the Cincinnati Red player that we were talking about yesterday.
Oh, man, screw you.
You got it,
Hines.
Yes, oh! Yes.
Reese Hines.
Yes!
In your face, Brian.
You got it.
Yeah. This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Spoiler.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking
Try
about.
Try to doubt me.
Oh, man. Okay, before we get to this story from David Wells, speaking of drinking and hangovers, in his final start before the All-Star game, Paul Skenes.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. Go struck out 11 Brewers over 7 no-hit innings.
We're watching history.
We literally are. So those 11 Ks matched his career high with his first road start at Wrigley Field back in May. It was also the 8th straight start in which Skenes struck out at least 7 batters. Longest such streak in Pirates history. Skenes did not allow a hit in that start at Wrigley either. In National American League history, Skenes and Nolan Ryan
are
the only two pitchers to have multiple starts of 6 or more innings with 11 or more Ks and 0 hits in the same season. Nolan Ryan did it in 1973.
That and was his rookie year. Yep. No. Take that back. Because he was 69 Mets.
Yeah.
73 with the Angels.
Yeah.
There you go.
And won that World Series in 69. People forget about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is David Wells telling a phenomenal story.
I pitched a no-hitter when I was drunk.
With PFT on Barstool Sports. He did.
Yeah.
So here's the first part of that. Talking about being hungover, showing up to the park.
There you go.
Well, as the game went on, I got better, but... The start, I got to the park that morning, and Coney Buckley was next to mine, and, you know, they were getting ready to go out on the field, and he just looked at me and he goes, wow. I go, what? I'm looking around, what? And he goes, you stink, dude. He goes, hide. He goes, if Joe Torre smells you, you're done.
It's amazing. Like, just hide. Just hide.
Yeah.
Why didn't you shower? But I guess it's because you're hungover and you've been drinking all night. So here is him telling the story of then throwing said perfect game.
Yeah.
I walked into the clubhouse. I always walked up and got water. I was very superstitious. So I with one out, I'd run up, get a water, and then come back down. I went into the lounge and I heard Michael Kay and John Sterling, you know, David Wells got a perfect game. I'm like, la, 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 la. Ran out and I'm like, got to the bench, and then I spit on the first step, second step, third step, got to spit on those. And
every time
there's times like I had cotton mouth, I couldn't get shit out of it. Feathers were coming out, you know, it was like I ate a chicken, a whole chicken. And to me, it was just a very superstitious thing for me to do. And I just, you know, I did that. So I just tried to stay. Because I remember going and sitting next to Tino, and he got up and walked away.
Yeah, I was going to say, did everyone leave you alone?
Yeah, it was very eerie.
Yeah.
Very, very eerie. And, you know, but I knew what they were doing because they don't want to be the ones to, you know, to jinx you and all that kind of stuff. But, so I remember it was the eighth inning, going out for the eighth inning, and David Cohn comes up to me, and he goes, break out that knuckleball. I go, what? He goes, throw the knuckleball. I go, I don't throw a knuckleball. He goes, yeah, you do. I play catch with you every day. Throw that knuckleball. I go, are you out of your mind, dude? I'm not throwing no knuckleball. I knew what he was doing. Not right away, but then when I was walking out to the mound, I'm like, he's just trying to get my mind off of what's going on.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One of the more interesting characters, you know, during his run or his prime.
Yeah.
You felt like, man, kind of like a John Daly. Like he was going to be great a couple of times
good,
a month.
Athlete.
Yes.
He was great in the playoffs. Like he was clutch because he just had this kind of not caring.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how like stories of these perfect games. You've got a guy tripping acid and then now just hungover. That's all you need.
That was Doc Ellis.
Just we're doing drugs and boozing.
Yeah. You got to have that muscle memory, bro.
Yeah. Maybe you'll just, when you're not thinking about it, you know, you're just.
throw a perfect game.
I think it's, you know, it's not unheard of. I think that you could maybe play great on, you know, maybe an extra beer or something like that. You know, you're hooping. I think the Red Sox, when they came back and from the Yankees, they were taking a little Shotsky here. But the LSD is just insane.
That's insane.
Like the alternate plane of existence that you're, you know, occupying for hours on end to be able to perform at a high level there is...
Could be some tremendous focus, though.
Yeah. Well, those great Miami Hurricane teams just taking shots at it.
Tremendous focus.
Tremendous focus.
Yeah, it's tunnel vision, especially if it's like you just didn't take it. It's still just on you from hours before.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's coming down a little bit. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. As long as you don't look up in the stands, you'll be okay.
Yeah. We got Levi Weaver coming up at 7:20 with the Get Right tonight. Yeah. Reggie and Fred. So from The Athletic, he'll be talking more about the All-Star break and the Rangers' position here. The former Rangers beat writer for The Athletic, now more of a senior baseball writer for The Athletic, Levi Weaver, coming up at 7:20. A college football super segment next here from Wolchuk. What's in store?
Prime has some high praise for his fellow Big 12 coach. Do we have more Big 12 expansion talk for you and the top 10 players in college football 25? That's next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. All right, here we go. It is time now for a college football super segment. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And here's Wolchuk with your college football super segment.
Well, we've had a Big 12 media days going on. We played the Mike Gundy stuff yesterday, but Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, there, Colorado, back in the Big 12. And Coach Prime and Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire do go way back. They have a history as Deion Sanders Jr. played for Coach McGuire at Cedar Hill. Of course, Coach Prime taken to the podium, asked about Texas Tech and Joey McGuire, and he had some high praise for the head coach.
Being at the Big 12 meetings and getting a chance to meet a multitude of these head coaches that have just welcomed me with open arms, they have been phenomenal. And Joey McGuire, my son, Junior. Where you at, Junior? Well off media. Yeah, he played for Coach McGuire in high school. And Joey has been the same consistent, great coach that he's always been. Joey, if you're out there, I love you. I appreciate you. You keep on doing what you do. Except when we come to play you, I want you to keep on doing your thing. But I love you, man. I really do. And you're doing a wonderful work down there, Texas Tech.
He is, man. I mean, the recruiting's been fantastic. You knew Joey McGuire was going to bring that. I mean, having covered Texas high school football for a long time, Joey McGuire was always fantastic when it came to post-game interviews. Him and Coach Walsh at Denton Guyer were two of the best that were able to kind of give you great insight all the time. And even Coach Todd there at South Oak Cliff, I thought was really good as well. We got to catch up with Coach Todd after one of their wins over, I think it was one of the Frisco schools there at the Star. And that was before South Oak Cliff really started taking off and winning state championships. And you could tell, like, Coach Todd had the plan in place. He had the mission. He saw the goal. And now it's been awesome to see what the Golden Bears have been able to do. Now, Shador is the top-rated quarterback in EA Sports College Football 25. 93 overall. Shador is. So is Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, who, by the way, Carson Beck, rumored to be dating one of the Cavender sisters. I believe it's Hannah Cavender because Haley is dating Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a good idea.
So, hey, I mean, both of them now dating football players, one in the NFL now, maybe one going to be in the NFL. But Carson Beck and Shador, your top-rated quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel, formerly of Oklahoma, now at the Oregon Ducks, is a 92 overall, along with Quinn Ewers of Texas. Jalen Milroe is a 90. Jalen Daniels is a 90 of Kansas. Jackson Dart and Caden Salter are both 90s in the video game as well. The top 10 highest-rated players, you do have Will Johnson, Michigan corner, is a 96 overall. The left tackle from LSU, Will Campbell, is a 96. Ollie Gordon, the running back from OK State, also a 96. James Pierce Jr., Tennessee edge rusher, going to be a top pick, comes in at 95. Caleb Downs, safety slash running back at Ohio State, is a 95. And then Travis Hunter is also a 95 overall. I thought Travis Hunter might be the top highest rated player overall in the video game. That thing is going to come out soon, and we cannot wait, as that's going to be amazing. Oh, my gosh. We did just get this information that I saw.
That's real?
This is very, very sad. About what?
What you're about to read.
The Monty Kiffin?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real. Yeah. Because Adam Schefter's now gone ahead and ran with it, too.
Yeah.
So longtime legendary NFL defensive coordinator Monty Kiffin has passed away at the age of 84.
Lane Kiffin's dad.
Yes. He was surrounded by family and friends, according to Ole Miss. I guess he was doing work there with them. But that's, man, that's heartbreaking.
One of my favorite Monty Kiffin stories. You know, he was here, you know, him, Rod Marinelli, and those guys were here. And we were coming back. David Hellman texts me about this. He goes, hey, RIP Monty Kiffin. We all have Arrowhead. And the story from Arrowhead was Cowboys played at Kansas City. Did a pretty nice job in that game. Monty's defense was pretty good. And I was riding the bus. We were on the team bus going from Arrowhead to the airport. And Monty was sitting next to me, and I was typing my story. I was typing my game notes for Hellman to read and all that. And Monty, like, puts his head on my shoulder and, like, falls asleep, like, on the bus ride. So I'm typing my notes, and the next thing I know, Monty Kiffin's like head's on my left shoulder, and I just kept typing. I didn't have the heart to say anything or any. I mean, he just, like, you know, older guy, just kind of like, had a tough game here, and, you know, just gonna take a little snooze on the way to the airport. But Monty was always, he was cool to talk to. I mean, he. Man, those teams that they had, those defenses they had at
Tampa
and Tampa were incredible. So good. And what he was able to do with Rondé Barber and, you know, even like Orlando Scandrick, the same. I mean, they had some visions for how Rondé Barber would cover and play in the slot. And Monty was a legend too at Nebraska. You know, you go back to the old days, even before Tom Osborne, like Bob Devaney. like in the 70s, those teams that they had, you know, with Johnny Rogers and Jerry Taggi and people like that. Monty Kiffin was, he was a big time coach.
Man, well, yeah, Ole Miss posted that, of course. Lane, the head coach there, his father passing away at the age 84. Very, very sad to hear that from Monty Kiffin, one of the all time greats. May he rest in peace. Now, speaking of the Big 12.
84 is a good run, though, by the way.
Very good run. Good run. Yeah, good run for a ball coach.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, yeah.
This was interesting. I'm starting to see a lot of buzz about this, but Clemson and Florida State could be headed to the Big 12. Now, there's some other reports of, like, maybe Miami, Notre Dame, but I really think Florida State and Clemson are the two that seem to be for sure. There's momentum building. They're desperate to leave the ACC, and I do believe that the Big 12 is the one that is going to try and lure them over. Now, their money is an obstacle here. So I saw one article.
The buyouts, huh?
Yeah, Pretty huge. Only would you have to help them get out of the ACC, but you then have to pay them in distribution when they get to the league an amount that is at least close to the Big Ten or SEC. So the Big 12 gets mid-30 millions.
Yeah.
The SEC and Big Ten are more like 70 million per year.
Yeah.
So is the Big 12 okay with unequal revenue distribution? Would they be okay with paying Florida State and Clemson 10 to 20 more per year in the millions compared to some of the other schools? But essentially, they could become the new Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12. Those are your two big blue blood programs. And, well, I mean, it does seem like everything's trending towards this, right? We're just going to have these super conferences. Maybe if they move, then you have Miami end up going with them and Notre Dame going with them. But that's the big headline today about college football conference expansion is Clemson and Florida State about to join the Big 12.
If I was Greg Sankey of the SEC, I'm on the horn.
You're trying to get them to the SEC?
I'm trying to get Clemson and Florida State because now you're talking about the SEC is about, not only is about the football, but it's about all the other programs involved. And those programs have outstanding athletic programs, whether baseball, basketball, golf, track, whatever. They've got them all.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, they've got, and you're talking about huge followings.
Big time.
Yeah. And, you know, LSU last 2 years had played against Florida State. Matter of fact, Florida State beat them the last 2 years.
Yeah, and of course you have the Florida State rivalry.
It's great. It's great. And then bring Clemson. If you could have a rivalry with, like, Georgia plays South Carolina.
Yeah. South Carolina Clemson?
Yeah.
Georgia Clemson.
Yeah. I mean, Death Valley of Clemson versus Death Valley of LSU. Man, those are two programs of, like, ACC schools that if I was the SEC, those are the ones I want.
Yeah.
Because they bring a lot to the conference.
They sure do.
Overall. And their football programs are outstanding as well.
Yeah, the 940 is like, is the current Big 12 really better than the ACC right now? I mean, they definitely would be if they take Clemson and Florida State. I don't know. I think they're deeper. They're not as top heavy.
I kind of feel like that the SEC could pay them to get them out of their deal.
The SEC clearly has the money. I mean, if they're looking at, like, it's $70 million per year per school compared to 30.
Yeah.
I mean, the SEC does have more money to work with. There is no question about that.
I'll sacrifice Vanderbilt.
if you had to sacrifice two schools, Vandy and who else?
Kentucky.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Kentucky.
Now, I'll tell you what, though. You know what? And you really can't do that, but I mean, there's some people that say sacrifice Arkansas. Mm. You know, let Arkansas go be a Big 12 team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Arkansas and Missouri. I know Brad Sham and Mickey and Danny Surrett and all those Missouri folk are, no, wait a minute, Brian, stop.
It's like they'd kind of like to keep Vandy for the academics.
Missouri was a Big 8 team for a long time.
They were. I mean, Mizzou came from the Big 12.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Southeast Conference.
Yeah. So the Southwest Conference. Yeah. I might sacrifice Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And keep Arkansas in this thing with Kentucky. Because Kentucky I need for my basketball.
Yeah. And Arkansas really has become
And Kentucky baseball has been pretty good, too.
Yeah, they have. And Arkansas baseball has been pretty good. Now you got Coach Cal there who is in Arkansas. But 9-4, so there's rumors A&M may leave for the Big Ten and Texas Tech replacing them in the SEC. I had not heard that.
I have not heard that at all.
I don't know. That'd be interesting if something like that had happened.
Texas A&M leaves for the Big Ten? Is that to get away from Texas?
It seems like maybe they continue to try and just get away from Texas. It's weird.
Yeah, it's
a weird bit there.
Very weird.
My gosh, this has happened again at Georgia.
Reckless driving?
Yeah, we got two more players that have been arrested and charged with reckless driving in latest traffic-related incidents. The pair of arrests mark 20 separate incidents in which someone associated with the Georgia football program has been arrested for traffic-related offenses since January of 2023. That's bizarre, man, especially when you had, you know...
deaths.
Right.
Yeah.
We had fatalities here.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They got to get that in order. But I did see this. We've got a great wall of Georgia. The average size of Georgia's incoming offensive lineman is 6'7", 340 pounds.
Yeah.
6'7", 340.
It's like five Winnebagos parked next to each other.
Holy crap. That is unbelievable. Yeah. They just added 6'10" freshman, former basketball player in the Overtime Elite League, who's joining the program.
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable what they're putting together here in Athens when it comes to their offensive line. And they just graduated a 6'8" tackle.
Yeah.
Amarius Mims.
Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then to wrap up.
Well, and by the way, all those kids are like young. I mean, the tackle.
Oh, they're all young.
Green is a sophomore. Fairchild's a junior.
It's crazy, man.
Wilson's a junior. I mean, they've got just two seniors. But, man, that's Kirby Smart's got that thing rolling the right way.
As he should be.
Yeah.
UCLA is swapping SEC powers Georgia and Auburn from their future schedules in favor of former Pac-12 opponents Cal and Utah.
They're trying to kind of keep that thing relevant if they can to help them out. UCLA goes to Baton Rouge this year to play a game.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But as a matter of fact, LSU opened the season in Los Angeles several years ago.
That's right.
I think this is the return for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're opening up the 2025 season at the Rose Bowl against the Utes and they return the favor in 2030 with a trip to Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
so they're going to try and keep those, but it is also probably a win that you're now swapping Georgia and Auburn. Those probably would have been L's on your schedule.
Well, LSU and USC opened the season against each other in Vegas too.
I love those matchups, man.
LSU, I give us credit.
Texas and Michigan early in the season.
I give us credit. I mean, we've played. You know, we're not afraid to that early season game. I mean, we haven't won in a while, but you know, not afraid to play these.
But it hasn't mattered. They've still been able to get themselves back in the college football playoff conversation.
They have.
So I mean, as long as you can drop that first game,
yeah,
and then just, you know, go ahead and take off after that.
I'm fascinated by the Michigan-Texas game, though. I think that's going to be great.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, Michigan, Ivan Taylor, son of ex-Steeler, Ike Taylor, has flipped from Notre Dame to Michigan.
Oh.
So he is no longer going to be a member of the Fighting Irish. Remember, we had that story about three former Pittsburgh Steelers. It was Ike Taylor, I think Jerome Bettis' son, and there was one other that were all going to go to Notre Dame together. Well, now he's flipped. He's going to go be a Michigan Wolverine.
I just wonder how Notre Dame is handling the NIL money and stuff.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah.
And will they eventually have to join one of these conferences in football?
To get the NIL money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would handle the money?
Yeah, why are you so focused on Notre Dame? Like, I'm missing it. Could you please explain?
Yeah, I think with Notre Dame, with it tied to the Catholic Church, the way it is, I know you have alum, but I don't know if you have the alum in that way that's willing to pony up the basically what the $40-50 million, which you're going to need for a program for 4 or 5 years.
They also have the academic.
They do. It's like teams like that in Stanford, you know, they're not going to get transfers. They're not going to get, you know, it's going to be tough because the money's just not there for what they need.
All right, let's go ahead and crosstalk with the Get Right next in the nation. Shout out to Luka Doncic. He has won the ESPY, as the ESPYs are on tonight, for best NBA player. So shout out to Luka. What a run it was as the Mavs 3 wins away from being your champions. And we'll see if they're able to finish that journey this year with some of the awesome moves they've made over the course of the offseason. It is time to crosstalk with the Get Right, Reginald Atatula and Fred Davis joining us here as we close things down in the G-Bag Nation. How the heck you fellas doing?
Doing all right, fellas. How about y'all?
We're good, man. It's been a good day overall. A lot of good sports content happening. A lot of good baseball talk. We got the All-Star game next week.
Did you hear this morning Eric Chiafalo talking about ankles and wrists and stuff like that?
I saw that. I saw him espousing those ideas.
He's talking about that as like for scouting, you know, when you're scouting people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you
scouting
could tell
players
how
players and you
thought
know,
it was really just about the butts when the ankles come into play.
Well, ankles, thin ankles though for big guys though, that kind of means they have some athletic ability.
It's true. I can speak for myself.
Yeah.
Can you break that? Because it seems like he's giving you credit. Chiafalo saying that you're the one who kind of hipped him to this idea. What's the thought process?
I just will say I never ever talked to Eric about this.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
But that's a lie. We've done it on our show.
But the thing that was funny because RJ always talks about the cankles, are thick ankles, is what he's talking about. So he was always talking about, well, you know, you get those Big Ten teams up there in Michigan. They play in the really deep grass, and, you know, they got those thick ankle, you know. So, but, yeah, if you get a big player, you know, usually you with ankle, and they'll look at wrists. I remember when I was one time I was at the combine, and I was sitting by the Buffalo Bill guy, and the Bills, every – player that came off the stage, they measured their wrists. And so if they didn't do the ankles, but
what's that an indication of?
If you could put on more weight, if you could expand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question I got. And a lot of people are going to, I think, will resonate this. This will resonate with them. Where are you at on calves? What's that an indication of? Or what are you guys looking at there?
Yeah, I think the things to me was always with Cavs was more involved with offense and defensive linemen. But to me, I've seen some guys with really thin legs that could fly.
Okay.
I'll tell you another one, a bow-legged guy. If a guy can walk over a fire hydrant, and that guy could run. I mean, And I'll tell you what, pigeon-toed guys.
I was going to say, how's pigeon-toed? Let's talk about
John
that.
Elway.
Let's talk about
John
that.
John Elway might have been with it. John Elway was pigeon-toed.
Watch him walk.
Very pigeon-toed.
Yeah, very pigeon-toed.
Uber pigeon-toed.
So to me, like, if you, like, there were certain things, like, they talk about arm length and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, okay, that's impressive. But you mentioned the calves. That was one of those because you were thinking about power.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, lower body power stuff like that.
I hate the skinny legs in a running back. Like, we had to deal with Darren McFadden had the skinny legs. He certainly did.
Seriously.
But Jawar Jordan, this past year of Louisville. I didn't like him. Yeah. Skinny leg guy. Yeah. I saw a lot of people were like, oh, should go in the middle rounds? I'm like, got like a 6-rounder on this dude.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. See if he ends up being a good player.
There are certain players that you look at and you're just, it just doesn't fit your eye.
Yeah.
And then they end up being great players, and you're like, well, so much for that stupid thing.
Yeah, that was the question I was about to have, because you laid out about 5 or 6 different, these are little cheat sheet type answers, and I was like, at what point does this become a problem for you?
I'm telling you what, Reggie, we will sit there at the combine.
Crappy wrist, but great ankles. What do we do, guys?
It's like Tom Brady.
What do we do?
In 2000, Tom Brady stood up there in front of all of us in those bad bike shorts. You know, at champion shorts, and we're like going, is he really that thin? You know, and then you saw a guy like Curtis Martin, where you could strike matches on him, and you're going, that's a ball player.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's certain things that fit your eye, and then there's others that, and then they turn out to be like Hall of Fame players. Kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
I mean, 4 great hours of broadcasting, I assume, I hope. Find out with us tonight, 7 to 11.
It'll be good.
Okay.
Be good.
All right. Take Fred's word for
Radio
it.
Radio Gold, as we like to call it in the business.
Yeah, Radio Gold.
Stand by.
I didn't say that. Don't come to talk to me about it afterwards. Levi Weaver, 720 from The Athletic, just talking about this weekend in baseball. And then also a question that I'm super excited to chop up with Fred at 8. How many teams can win the Super Bowl this year? Whether it's like how many teams absolutely can, or how many teams can you just find a way, should this thing shake one way or the other, can make it to the Super Bowl? We're going to try and find a definitive answer today at 8.
Do you believe the Cowboys are one of those teams?
Checking at 8.
That's a hell of a tease. I appreciate right that there. Tease. I'm going to ruin my tease. I'm not sure. I'm starting to have some real doubts.
Because I saw it.
And maybe I'm too close to it.
Like, I know. And I've saved this for maybe one of these days. We'll see if I have time to get to it. So maybe I'll just do it now. But Sports Illustrated has 12 teams. Yeah. Cowboys are not one of their 12.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. Here's a question I got for you two. And I'll throw it out to you in the show.
Okay, cool.
Is Mike McCarthy the modern day Marty Schottenheimer?
Ooh.
Well, Marty.
Regular Marty season never won a Super Bowl. Right? Super Bowl. But look, one thing you knew that Marty was going to do.
They were going to win. They were going to win. No, they were going to
playoff time.
They were going to win regular season.
They were going to 14 games.
They were going to be 14-2 and find a way to
lose by the second round.
Yeah.
Or the first
round. Or not even get out of the first round.
Sure. Right? Get out of the first round. Yeah.
He's on that trajectory right now. Yes.
Because look, think about when he took over the Redskins. Remember when they started 1-8?
Oh, yeah.
And then they went off and won 7 games in a row and actually finished 8-8 that year.
Yeah. Marty would always find a way to win games in the regular season. And then the things that he would scheme during the regular. Now, he had some bad luck along the way. The fumbles, the drive, the fumble.
Yeah.
He had some really good teams at Cleveland. That the Denver,
those Chargers teams he had, they go 14-2, he gets fired.
I'm just talking, before that, the Cleveland teams were really, really good, too.
Well, when he benched Rich Gannon instead of Elvis Gerbutt, and we saw how that turned out.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a good question, though. I think that right now he is trending in that direction. At least it's the Cowboys coach. With Green Bay,
they
made it to NFC Championship games with the Packers, but then they blew those.
But they blew those.
Yeah. Yep.
So. I heard you guys talk about the coaching thing, and so that was the kind of the thing that jumped off the page.
No, that's a very, very fair question. All right, I'm excited. 4 hours of Radio Gold with the Get Right coming up next. Reginald Atatula, Fred Davis, shout out to the General, Gavin Dawson, of course, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman. For Eric Chiafalo, go see the Firehouse Tour tomorrow. Glenn Heights, he's going to be out there with RJ and Bobby. I'm Zach Wolchek. Until tomorrow at 2. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody. Shout out to Luka Doncic. He has won the ESPY, as the ESPYs are on tonight, for best NBA player. So shout out to Luka. What a run it was. It's the Mavs 3 wins away from being your champions, and we'll see if they're able to finish that journey this year with some of the awesome moves they've made over the course of the offseason. It is time to crosstalk with the Get Right, Reginald Atatula and Fred Davis joining us here as we close things down in the G-Bag Nation. How the heck you fellas doing?
Doing all right, fellas. How about y'all?
We're good, man. It's been a good day overall. A lot of good sports content happening. A lot of good baseball talk. We got the All-Star game next week.
Did you hear this morning Eric Chiafalo talking about ankles and wrists and stuff like that?
I saw that. I saw him espousing those ideas.
He's talking about that as for scouting. When you're scouting people,
yeah,
if you could tell how
players they're good. And
thought it was really just about the
butts
when the ankles come into play.
Well, ankles, thin ankles though, for big guys though, that kind of means they have some athletic ability.
It's true. I can speak for myself.
Yeah,
can you break that? Because it seems like he's giving you credit. Chiafalo saying that you're the one who kind of hipped into this idea. What's the thought process?
I just will say I never ever talked to Eric about this.
Oh, okay, all right,
but that's a lie. We've done it on our show.
But the thing that was funny because RJ always talks about. The cankles, are thick ankles, is what he's talking about. So he was always talking about, you get those Big Ten teams up there in Michigan. They play in the really deep grass, and, they got those thick ankle, if you get a big player, usually you with ankle, and they'll look at wrists. I remember when I was one time I was at the combine, and I was sitting by the Buffalo Bill guy, and the Bills, every player that came off the stage, they measured their wrists. And so if they didn't do the ankles, but
what's that an indication of?
If you could put on more weight, if you could expand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question I got. And a lot of people are going to, I think, will resonate this. This will resonate with them. Where are you at on calves? What's that an indication of? Or what are you guys looking at there?
Yeah, I think the things to me was always with calves was more involved with offense and defensive linemen. But to me, I've seen some guys with really thin legs that could fly.
Okay.
I'll tell you another one, a bow-legged guy. If a guy can walk over a fire hydrant,
yeah,
and that guy could run. I mean, And I'll tell you what, pigeon toed guys.
I was going to say, how's pigeon toed? Let's talk about
John
that.
Elway.
Let's talk about
John
that.
Elway might have been with it.
Huh?
John Elway was pigeon
toed.
Very pigeon toed.
Yeah, very pigeon toed. So to me, like, if you, like, there were certain things, like, they talk about arm length and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, okay, that's impressive. But you mentioned the calves. That was one of those, because you were thinking about power.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Lower body power and stuff like that.
See, I hate the skinny legs in a running back. Like, we had to deal with
Darren
that.
Darren McFadden.
Darren McFadden had the skinny legs. He certainly did.
Seriously.
But Jawar Jordan, this past year of Louisville. I didn't like him. Yeah. Skinny leg guy.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people were like, oh, should go in the middle rounds? I'm like, got like a six rounder on this dude.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
There's
we'll see if he ends up being a good player.
There are certain players that you look at and you're just, it just doesn't fit your eye.
Yeah.
And then they end up being great players, and you're like, well, so much for that stupid thing.
Yeah, that was the question I was about to have, because you laid out about five or six different, these are little cheat sheet type answers, and I was like, at what point does this become a problem for you?
I'm telling you what, Reggie, we will sit there at the combine.
Crappy wrist, but great ankles. What do we do, guys?
It's like Tom Brady. In 2000, Tom Brady stood up there in front of all of us in those bad bike shorts. You know, at champion shorts, and we're like going, is he really that thin? You know, and then you saw a guy like Curtis Martin, where you could strike matches on him, and you're going, that's a ball player.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's certain things that fit your eye, and then there's others that, and then they turn out to be like Hall of Fame players. Mm. Kind of crazy.
Okay. All right.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
I mean, 4 great hours of broadcasting, I assume, I hope. Find out with us tonight, 7 to 11.
It'll be good.
Okay,
be good.
All right. Take Fred's word for
it. Radio Gold, as we like to call it in the business.
Yeah, Radio Gold.
Radio Gold.
Stand by.
I didn't say that. Don't come to talk to me about it afterwards. Levi Weaver, 720, from The Athletic, just talking about this weekend in baseball. And then also a question that I'm super excited to chop up with Fred at 8. How many teams can win the Super Bowl this year? Whether it's like how many teams absolutely can, or how many teams can you just find a way, should this thing shake one way or the other, can make it to the Super Bowl? We're going to try and find a definitive answer to 8. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe the Cowboys are one of those teams?
Checking at 8.
That's a hell of a
I appreciate
tease right
that
there.
Tease. I'm going to ruin my tease. I'm not sure. I'm starting to have some real doubts.
Because I saw
it. And maybe I'm too close to it.
Like I know, and I've saved this for maybe one of these days. We'll see if I have time to get to it, so maybe I'll just do it now. But Sports Illustrated has 12 teams. Cowboys are not one of their 12.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. Here's a question I got for you two, and I'm going to throw it out to you in the show.
Okay, cool.
Is Mike McCarthy the modern-day Marty Schottenheimer?
Ooh.
Well, Marty,
regular
Marty
season
never won a Super Bowl. Never won a Super Bowl. But look, one thing you knew that Marty was going to do,
they were going to win. They were going to win. No, they were going to
playoff time.
They were going to win regular season.
They were going to 14 games.
They were going to be 14-2 and find a way to
lose by the second round.
Yeah.
Or
the first round, or not even get out of the
Get out of the first round. Yeah,
he's on that trajectory right now. Yes.
Because look, think about when he took over the Redskins. Remember when they started like 1-8?
Oh yeah,
and then they went off and won 7 games in a row and actually finished 8-8 that year.
Yeah. Marty would always find a way to win games in the regular season. And then the things that he would scheme during the regular. Now, he had some bad luck along the way. The fumbles, the drive, the fumble.
Yeah.
He had some really good teams at Cleveland.
Those Chargers teams he had, they go 14-2, he gets fired.
I'm just talking, before that, the Cleveland teams were really, really good, too.
When he benched Rich Gannon instead of Elvis Gerbutt, and we saw how that turned out.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a good question, though. I think that right now he is trending in that direction.
At least
it's the Cowboys coach. With Green Bay,
they
made it to NFC Championship games with the Packers, but then they blew those.
Yep. So, I heard you guys talk about the coaching thing, and so that was the kind of the thing that jumped off the page to me.
No, that's a very, very fair question. All right, I'm excited. 4 hours of Radio Gold with the Get Right coming up next. Reginald Atatula, Fred Davis, shout out to the General, Gavin Dawson, of course, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman. For Eric Chiafalo, go see the Firehouse Tour tomorrow. Glenn Heights, he's going to be out there with RJ and Bobby. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Until tomorrow at 2. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.